So the book of Romans this morning, we're looking at chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Please follow along. I'll read the passage. Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. Today's message is entitled, The Gospel That Sets You Free. The Gospel That Sets You Free. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. You know, many of us at one point or another wonder about the meaning of life or the value, the purpose of our lives. And I think about these things once in a while. And when I do, my mind undoubtedly leads to thinking about freedom, or rather, how little of it I have. I mean, think about it. When you're a child, though you may not think it as we are now, children have been heard saying, how come I never get to do what I want to do? Children very quickly feel their place in the hierarchy of the family and may act out. Students never seem to be able to get away from their work, exams, or homework. And those of you working, as good as it may be or as good as it may get, may think at times, when can I finally stop paying these bills? I mean, you guys get the idea, right? I mean, surely death is not what we are all looking forward to as the answer to the question of true freedom. That means that what we all want is true freedom today, not just in death. We want true freedom today in our lives. And this is exactly what our passage in Romans speaks about today. And Paul gets straight to the point and tells us right from the start in verse 1, paraphrased, if you are in Jesus, you are free. If you are in Jesus, you are free. So wherever you are, repeat after me. I am free.
I am free.
All right. I get some responses back. I am free.
I am free.
And this is what verse 1 is saying, right? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if we were to stop here, I think all of us would be able to say amen. I mean, we all believe in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all believe that Jesus, the Son of God, bled, died for our sins on the cross and rose again on the third day. We believe that, so we say amen. And that's good, and that is true. So here's the first point that is very simple. In Jesus, you are free. The gospel of Jesus sets you free. But let me tell you this morning that the gospel does not simply start and end with your salvation. The fact that if you believe in this message that you will go to heaven, if you believe, yes, you are saved, and yes, you will go to heaven, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is also good and necessary, central for our lives every single day. It is the gospel that allows us to live lives for Jesus' sake today. What Paul is saying in verse 1 is that if you are in Jesus, you are free the moment you receive him. You are free today, you are free tomorrow, and you are free for all of eternity. Now we look at the next section of our text, verses 2 through 8. And let me give you the second point, the gospel of Jesus redirection. The gospel of Jesus redirection. Look with me to verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That means before Jesus, you lived within a system of beliefs, a worldview that bound you and led you to sin and death. You lived a trapped life. But in Jesus, you have been given a new set of rules to live by. Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life. So because you are now in Jesus, though you might not understand everything from day one or even today, your life has been redefined. Your life has been set on a new path. Well, so you might want to ask the question, well, how does that work? How does God do that? Or how did he do that? And we looked at verses 3 and 4. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, neither the law nor human obedience could confer this life. It tells us in verse 3, only the Son, by his coming, could and did. So by Christ's finished work, what the law calls for, living in harmony with God and his will, can actually take place through the work of God's Spirit. That's verse 4. That means that on our own, we could not, we cannot satisfy the requirements of the law. There was nothing we could do. Even in our perfect obedience, that could not be satisfied the righteous requirement of God. Our sinful nature, imputed from Adam, would always prevent, or rather disqualify us from perfect righteousness. So sinful man, we needed a Savior that could and would take our place. And so God the Father sent Jesus, his one and only Son, to do exactly that. But you also have to remember, by the method of pursuing, by living this according to the law of sin, this was not possible. So in verse 4, how did Jesus accomplish what was not possible for us? Well, it tells us that he walked according to the Spirit. It is because of Jesus, because he accomplished what was not possible. Number one, by walking in the flesh. And two, what was not possible for any man in Jesus. So again, if you have Jesus, you are redirected for a new purpose. Because you now belong to Jesus, the one who walked according to the Spirit of God. And that is why you are now walking in the Spirit of God. And verses 5 and 6 explains this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So again, verse 5 in the beginning, for those who live according to the flesh. So if you're living within the framework of sin, it's obvious that your path, your goal, no matter how good you think that it's going to be, your path and your goal will be things of the flesh. For example, if you're always thinking or worried about money, 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 guess what? You're going to dream. You're going to speak. You're going to plan your life around money. If you're always thinking about your kids, guess what? You're going to make plans. You're going to dream. You're going to speak and make decisions around your kids. But look with me to the second half of verse 5, the flip side. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now this makes sense, right? So if your life has been changed, if you are walking in the Spirit of God, you will live for the things of the Spirit. I think we all face a stark either or. Either we will be oriented toward the flesh, the human inclination to sin, which will lead to death, or the Spirit reorients us so that our present possession and final destiny, according to verse 5 and 6, are life and peace. But the Apostle Paul takes it further in verses 7 and 8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you're living for the flesh, if you're living for sin, if you're living for yourself, your sinful heart, your sinful nature does not submit to God. See, not only that, but you lack the ability to live for God's law. It's not just that you don't have the desire, but it is your inability. You cannot please God. Let's imagine that you've lived your life, let's say as an orphan, all your life, and you had to fend for yourself. There are too many to compete with. Then one day you were adopted. Now what is natural is that you will not instantly begin to live as someone else's child. In your mind, you might know that you're adopted, but you don't really get it. You don't really get it. At least until the experience, until you begin to experience what a father's love, what a mother's love is really like. And even when you do, there will be days that you go back to what you have known all of your life. But you need to remind yourself and one another and surround yourself with those who also have been adopted, who have been adopted, that you are no longer a child of the world, but rather a child of God, a child of life. So perhaps a better way to describe or to say the second point isn't simply that the gospel redirects you, but rather the gospel of Jesus sets you on a completely new path. The third point for today is that the gospel of Jesus transforms you from the inside. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. See, Paul brings this message to a focus here. Right? The first two words of verse 9, you, however, and let me do the same to you, brothers and sisters. It is one thing for us to know the difference between those who know Jesus and those who do not. But the message is not simply an intellectual exercise about those who know Christ and those who do not. This message is about you. But you know Jesus. You have Jesus. Verse 9 again, you, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if you indeed, your faith is real. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, when I got to verse 10 in my reading, it was a little confusing. I mean, look at it. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Jesus is Jesus alive in you, but your body is dead, but the Spirit is life. What? So let's take this sentence apart into three phrases. The first one being that, but if Christ is in you. The second being, although the body is dead because of sin. And the third phrase is, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And I want to start with the second phrase, the middle phrase, although the body is dead because of sin. Now, because of sin, our bodies are mortal bodies. Dying bodies. Indicating that without Jesus, we are headed toward an eternity of death, fire, and judgment. And that is the pattern of this world. And I think we get this. We look around. Nothing in this life gets newer. All by itself. I mean, look around at our neighborhoods, our towns, our cities. They're all just getting older. You leave it alone, and it gets older and dirtier. Look at your bodies. I mean, especially for the young folks, if you like working out and looking good, look at your parents. That's you in 20, 30, 40 years. We don't go to sleep and all of a sudden the next day, we have a six-pack. You look at the news, do you know that Christianity is the number one religion to attack? 20 years ago, the question was abortion. If you're against it, people assume that it was for religious reasons. Now, if you're against homosexuality, it's because you are a narrow-minded, intolerant, backwards, non-progressive, people-hating Christian. Our mortal bodies are given over to the sinful nature we are born with. And that grows if you leave it be. And I think you get this. And that's what this is talking about. Although the body is dead because of sin. Now let's go back to the first phrase, but if Christ is in you. In the light of this mortal and dark reality, this combination of the first two words in verse 10 gives us hope in the midst of all of this. And what are these two special words of hope? But if. I mean, amazing, isn't it? I mean, yes, our bodies are sinful. Yes, our bodies are dying, left alone without Jesus. But again, verse 10, but if Jesus the Christ is in you. I mean, if you're following along with this passage, it should make you want to ask with eager expectation, what's next? Let me know. Yes, the world is dying. Yes, the devil looks like he's got the whole world in his hands, but if Jesus is in you, it gives us hope. And now you look with me to the last phrase, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice that it does not say that the Spirit is alive. This verse is not here to describe the Holy Spirit. It tells us that because of Jesus in you, His Spirit, God's Spirit in you is life itself. This dead vessel is being filled with Jesus and thus the Holy Spirit. Look with me to verse 11, our last verse today. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. I mean, wow, if you get this, if you're really getting this, amen. Because the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And because it is this same Spirit that now dwells in you if you are in Christ. I mean, what do you think happens to a sinful vessel when it's filled with the same Spirit of God that has raised Christ from the dead? That's the second half, verse 11. The Spirit will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It tells us that what was once dying in sin, what was once being used for sinful things, because of Jesus, His Spirit dwelling in you, is being redeemed and transformed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just good news that brings hope to a weary soul. It is that, but also gives you life. It sets you free, redirects you, and transforms you. Brothers and sisters, you're not living to get the best grade only. You're not living to pay the next bill. You're not living for the sole purpose of preparing for retirement. You are living to take the very life that God has given you and to use it to give life and set others free. What an opportunity we have, even in this challenging time, when so many things we feel are restricted. But even with technology, we can be thankful. Let us make every effort to reach one another, to bless and encourage with words, that none of us are alone, that God has put us in a community of believers to sharpen one another, to bless and to encourage one another. In knowing Jesus, your faith journey, yes, it begins in here, but through life as the Spirit of God takes over your mind, your soul, your body, you change into the very likeness of Christ. I mean, we call that sanctification. You set apart and being made holy into the very likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, church, let me close with these words from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud, that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are glorious, that you are in control, that God, that you know all things, that you know our minds, our hearts. Father, you control. Father, you, without you, the stars would fall, the birds of the air, animals, the fish, even the ground upon which we stand would not be what it is. So, Father, help us to understand and praise you for the God that you are mighty, awesome, wonderful. That even in times like this, we give you glory and praise because you remind us very clearly that, God, that we are not in control. Father, help us to submit to your will. Help us to bow and rest in your arms. And help us to praise you and worship. But I pray also that you open our eyes to see the needs of those around us. That, God, that in challenging times and trying times, you call your people especially to be the city on a hill, to be a light. That, God, that we would seek out the needs of others, that we would show Christian generosity, we would show love and care. Father, I pray that we would lift up one another, that, God, that we would reach one another. Father, use us to be your hands and feet, to be your messengers. Father, I pray that every day you afford us an opportunity to bless one another. Help us to be active in our faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.